Thank you for listening to and supporting Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
The views and opinions of the host or guest of the following program may not be those of the staff or management of Christ the King Radio or Christ the King Radio Ministries.
This is Rochelle Faracco and Joan Tuohy with Senior Solutions of Colorado. And we are going to be talking about our real estate today. We're with Metro Brokers. Joan has her own company, Tuohy & Company, and I have mine, Real Estate by Rochelle. But we partner on everything we do. You're listening to Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. And good morning,
and welcome. Everybody, welcome. Rochelle and I were just talking that, and the reason we decided we talk a little bit more about real estate today is because every event that's Memorial Day weekend that we were at this weekend, people were asking us about the market. So there is obviously a lot of interest in the Denver market and the market in general with real estate, even in other areas of the country. So I think that one of the first questions that we've been asked or, you know, over the weekend, and I'm sure Rochelle has others, is how do you get into this market? And the reason for that is a lot of people that ask that question are trying to break into this market, and it's very hard to get into the market. One of the reasons is, the biggest reason probably is, the lack of inventory in the entire state of Colorado. We are number one in terms of burning and churning, as they say, real estate, with the prices going higher every month, if not every week. It's ridiculous. I can remember a time in the 70s when Southern California, it was kind of a joke, but not where I sold real estate, was that if the house doesn't sell in a week, raise the price $10,000.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
It's just kind of crazy. So here's one of the reasons, and I'm sure Rochelle will shill more, but it is an inventory issue, and there are many more buyers, at least 10 times more buyers, if not more. I think the statistic that I read out of one of the boards was there are only like 30,000 properties on the market in the state.
Which is like 3,400 in the metropolitan area.
Or 3,400 here. Yeah. I had that backwards. About 30,000 buyers in the market with about 3,400 properties on the market in the state.
Yeah.
So that's pretty outrageous.
And we have like the one, we have the number one millennials are here, mm-hmm. are coming to Colorado. Mm-hmm. We have the highest rate of millennials coming here, as well as relocation and jobs opening up where people are relocating here as well.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of sellers that are afraid to sell because they can't find something else.
Exactly. We have actually taken offers on our listings for people who didn't have their house on the market yet, which normally a listing broker would never do. But the reason being that that broker has told us that, well, she doesn't want to put her house on the market until she knows she has a place to move. And she loves your listing and she'd love to move here. And her house will sell in a minute. And, you know, it did. So we took her offer before she even listed it.
Well, that was Joan's kind heart.
Well,
because she, it was. Because you
a
had
lot
a, your
of listing
gut
brokers
feeling
wouldn't
was,
do it.
Yeah, your gut feeling was that it will sell fast with where it's at and everything else. And that she did really want the property. A lot of realtors would have said no, you know, but
right.
Joan has a good heart and she knew. That it was real,
right.
And it was going to happen.
I knew in the neighborhood it was in, it would likely sell the day it listed.
Yeah.
And it did. So, another thing is that a lot of people have asked, are there better places to go to buy real estate in the greater Denver metropolitan area, you know, to get a better chance to get a better price, is there some kind of dwelling they could buy that they would have a better chance? You know, the truth of the matter is, at this point, no, there really isn't. You can go down into Colorado Springs is like this, and Monument, Larkspur, all the way up the I-25 corridor, all the way over to Kiowa and Elizabeth East to us, and all the way up into Bailey and the mountains. Mm-hmm. Now, there is sort of a catch-22 to that, and I'm not sure that's the right phrase. But if you're trying to sell a million plus in the mountains and you are not really right on the dime with your price, you will sit. But that's about the only place. And even there, people have a lot of disposable income. Buyers have disposable income. And so they are able to reach up if they want to. You know, Rochelle, talk a little bit about that, with the buyers reaching up and the disposable income and the lower end. The issues we've been
having.
Well,
to start with the lower end, I mean, as far as anything under $300,000 is just flying off the market. And a lot of them are investors. They're actually able to pay mm-hmm. cash. There's loan issues coming up come August 1st that are going to make probably the sellers take the cash offers, even if they would be $10,000 or $20,000 less, so that they don't have to deal with a loan, because these loans are getting really difficult. But right now, there are a lot of the people are going up north if they want something under $300,000, because there's a lot being built, new construction. You know, they say above $200,000.
So it's above
three.
Two.
That means it's about three.
Yeah, the mid twos really means, and if you want a kitchen, it'll be three. Yeah. You know.
So we're finding that, you know, they're having to go out further out, and they're willing to. Just to get a home or that. The metropolitan Denver itself is very expensive, as well as anything down South Corridor, as the South Corridor as well. There, a lot of people have disposable income, and mm-hmm. they're using their money to buy real estate. They're
in
actually taking it out of financial bonds,
401ks at work, et cetera. Yeah.
And buying homes to invest in, because
and we're not suggesting
that
that's
so
a
high.
Good or bad idea. Just that people are doing it.
Yeah. So, you know, the whole thing is I heard somebody the other day say, no, I did not hear. I read it in the Post the other day that there are people bringing flowers to the door. There are wine, letters, you know, tickets to events, just to make their offer and let the seller know they really want this property, and trying to build a relationship with the seller so that the seller will pick them out of all the offers.
All out of the other 20 offers that they have.
So we had an offer that we had written last week. Joan had written it, and we were up against offers.
Was at least nine offers. It was for a, and this is true what we're saying about condominiums and townhomes, just not single family residences. This is going on in every type of dwelling unit. Mm-hmm. We put an offer in for a client of ours, and we went up about 10,000, maybe 15 over the, offer price. I believe that our max was 15, the way we wrote it. And, the fellow sent out emails, you know, blast emails to every broker. 50 brokers had it listed on Saturday morning was the first you could see it. You had to see it between, 10 and 12 or 10 and 1 or something. And then that was it. And you had to, you know, if you wanted it, you had to write your offer and submit it. They weren't going to get back to you until 11 p.m. on Monday. And he sent out an email at the end of it, you know, thanking all 50 brokers who showed the property, and that they had at least nine really strong offers, and, wanted to know if, our offer would go into backup, which, you know,
I did
is
call him
story.
Back and said to him, you know what, he can't tell what the house sold for, the
right.
price, etc. And he said the bottom line was, Rochelle, they waived the appraisal, they waived the inspection.
Yeah.
And the price was good. So that's why they went with that one.
Right. And that those are things that people are having to do in the market, unfortunately.
So if it appraises for less than what they purchased it for, then the buyer has to come
has
in with
to come
the cash.
In with the difference.
The difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the market we're in.
So it's really hard. There was the other thing is that what we're afraid we're going to run out of is, and I think we already have, is there are people that are still asking us, can we find them $125,000, $150,000 condo? They don't need much space. They would like to have a little storage, maybe if there's a basement or a carport or a garage. And you know, it doesn't really exist. And it's very hard to tell people that. There might be some that come up. I'm not going to say none, but they are likely in need of tremendous amount of work. And therefore, you're really not saving any money because you're probably not going to live in it the way it is. So that's really an issue for everyone. We have, we've been doing this, Rochelle and I, for over 20 years each. So we really have about 50 years of combined experience in Denver and Colorado real estate. And so we're pretty attuned to what is going on. And when we return after the break, we will talk about some other questions that people ask us. What we would suggest right now is that if you have any questions specifically about your property, please give us a call. And it's Joan Tuohy and Rochelle Farocco. And you can reach us at 720-271-8752.
She remembered it.
That's Rochelle's line. And mine is 303-810-5746. Another thing to remember is that we also are the directors of Senior Solutions of Colorado. And we should point out that this market is devastating to seniors. And if you are a senior that has questions on what you might be able to do, you know, give us a call at Senior Solutions. And that is 720-295-6263. Thanks, Rochelle.
Yeah.
So, we're going to go to break now, and we'll be back in a few minutes and talk some more about the crazy real estate market.
This program is available as a podcast. Simply visit the podcast section at our website, www.ctkradio.org.
Like Christ the King Radio on Facebook using the link that you'll find on our homepage at ctkradio.org. You can take Christ the King Radio with you on your mobile device everywhere you go. Simply visit the App Store for iPhone or the Play Store for Android and download the free TuneIn.com app. After installing the app, search the TuneIn.com website using all capital letters for CTK Radio. Save CTK Radio to your favorites and enjoy. On behalf of the management and staff, thanks again for listening to and supporting Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
GECS, website design, corporate identity, and custom graphics. For more information, visit the website at www.gecs-us.com. Again, that's www.gecs-us.com. Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
This is Rochelle Farocco and Joan Tuohy with Senior Solutions of Colorado. Joan and I are talking about our real estate today. We are realtors with Metro Brokers. She with Tuohy and Company and myself with Real Estate by Rochelle, but we partner 50-50 on everything. You are listening to Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org Angela's taking care of us as usual. Thank you, Angela.
Absolutely.
And so Joan and I are just going to continue to talk to you about this crazy market right now.
Yeah, you know, another thing that when we left off, we were talking about sellers who don't want to sell their house, or they want to, but they're afraid to put their house on the market because they don't know where they would go. And the other thing we were talking about is that many times buyers will give up and say, well, I'll just rent. So on the first issue, in terms of a seller would like to try to sell their house, but they don't, they're afraid they will have no place to go. There is something that is called performance, specific performance by sellers in the state of California, and many other states have it, where if a seller goes under contract with a buyer to sell their home, then they are subject to what is called specific performance. And specific performance means that if each side of the party is doing what they're supposed to do to have a successful closing, to move to the closing table and transfer the deed, then the seller cannot just arbitrarily pull out and say, you know, I've decided that I'm not going to sell my property. What that results in, and can result in, is a buyer who can sue the seller for specific performance and force the seller to sell the house to them, as well as other damages. So sellers are in
So that's where you'd put the phrase in.
Correct.
The contingency in.
Right.
And that contingency is what, Joan?
So if, let's say that you were a seller and you were, you know, you wanted to try to sell your house, and you hire your broker and you list it, and the broker would have an understanding that your house is only, the seller is only going to have specific performance if they find an acceptable replacement property. So that would go into, should go into MLS, so that showing brokers and buyers know that that's the case. And if when the seller receives a contract, which I believe would be immediately, even with that phrase, that the counter goes back out saying that the seller's specific performance is expressly conditioned on the seller finding a replacement property on or before, and then you put in a date. If the seller hasn't, maybe you give the seller 30 days in this market,
or
maybe
2 weeks.
Maybe, you know, two
a
weeks,
week.
30 days, you know, maybe they need a little more time even in this crazy market. But at that point, if they haven't notified the buyer that, you know, yay, I found a property that I am going to go into, you know, I'm in contract with, then the contract to sell their house can terminate, unless the buyer wants to sign something that, and the seller agrees to continue on, to let the seller have more time to find something. But it's a way that sellers can take the fear. And there's more to it than what we're saying here, because we're not trying to teach real estate, but it is an absolutely safe way for sellers to feel that I can try to sell my house because I won't perform, and that's what I'll disclose, unless I find an acceptable replacement property. So that's one thing.
And then the thing is like we were saying, people don't know the value of their homes right now. They're probably up at least 30% from what you think that they are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So sellers really don't have any idea what their homes are worth right now.
Mm-hmm. And that's another conundrum that we all are in. You know, the appraisers are, there's not very many appraisers left anymore, good appraisers. There's a lot of newer, there are good appraisers out there, of course, but a lot of the old appraisers have left because they changed the way appraisers do business, and they also changed how much money they are able to make per appraisal. So it really wasn't enough for the kind of job that appraising is. It's not an easy job.
And they have to go through a management company.
And they have to now go through a management company, and everybody is arm's length. So that's another thing, that we have this tremendous demand in the market, in the marketplace. And supply and demand should affect how appraisers or people look at the value of property. And sometimes it does work and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's considered and sometimes it is not. So that can make your appraisals, you know, vary. And then that is another stress point for everyone in the contract, the buyer, the seller, and the brokers, and the title company, and the lender. It's everybody.
Yeah.
So,
you know, one thing, too, sellers don't know what they can qualify for if they did have some issues. And most people did have a lot of financial issues years ago. So there are loans out there that you can, you know, that the sellers can get to buy something else. What is it, Joan? 3 to 4 years to buy after foreclosure, mm-hmm. depending on the type of loan. Some of the lenders are even doing after 2 years on a short sale.
Right. And actually, the numbers of years are even, I think, coming down.
Yeah,
and the new
products,
you know, they've got new products out. So it's catch 22 again, because there are some new good lending products out there that lenders have come up with. But as of August 1st, you know, there's going to be a very big stumbling block with, the changes in the lending industry, which actually affects everyone. And I don't think that, there's not going to be any more HUDs, and there's not going to be any more good faith estimates. There's going to be other forms that people may or may not consider to be more easier to read or to understand. There's, you know, whether or not that's true, we'll find out. But it's going to be a huge change, and the amount of time that lenders have to do loans in terms of getting them to title companies, you know, there's new rules out there about what all this is going to take. So in terms of the state of Colorado, and this is affecting the country, but in terms of the state of Colorado anyway, we usually always think that we can close in 30 days. But it's been suggested that we move our contract dates out 45 and in some cases 60 days so that you don't have to redo things that a seller might not be willing to redo, or a buyer may not be willing to amend, in order to keep the contract, you know, alive. Another thing that's, I think, we were talking about how some people will say, well, we'll just go out and rent, you know, and there really aren't any rentals available out there either. We have
on the high end,
the vacancy rate is less than 2% is what I think the Denver Post reported. So that's not really a vacancy rate. I mean, that's like nothing for residential living, condos, townhomes. I don't know what the vacancy rate is if you include commercial property, et cetera. But the really sad thing is, you know, Rochelle and I founded a company, Senior Solutions of Colorado, and we're the directors of it. And we do work with a lot of seniors to help them with their housing issues, particularly to help them to age in place. But there are seniors actually who want to move. They've rented apartments, and now they're being kind of beat up with the increase in the rents that landlords, if they give the tenant the proper notice, they can raise their rent. And if the tenant doesn't like it, they can. There isn't any rent control here. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't raise your rent. If you want to raise your rent, you are paying $500 a month, and the landlord wants to raise their rent by $1,000 to $1,500 a month, because that's what everybody else is getting, they can do it. You know, people get very angry at that, but there is no rent control here. Like, in New York City is one place that I can think of that has a lot of rent control. Philadelphia, I think, is another one, but we don't have it.
Santa Monica, California.
Santa Monica, yeah. So we have an issue for our seniors, our poor seniors, because they would also like to, they want to get out of these very expensive apartments that they're renting. And they realize, scoochie too late, that, you know, it's going to be hard now, because their mortgage would be a lot less, but now it's trying to find them something. So that is a very difficult, you know, that's kind of, you know, the catch 22 here is not just sellers and not just buyers. It's everybody's kind of caught in a conundrum here.
Even realtors, because they can't find the properties they need for their clients. Mm-hmm. And Joan and I really recommend that you get educated with this market. Find a good realtor, talk to two or three different ones, really get to know, you know, really ask the questions and find a good realtor, because that's going to make the difference in your process, whether you're selling or buying. And the other thing is, I lost my train of thought.
Oh, that's okay. But she was on the right track, absolutely. Because when you're making an offer, it's not just a one time event. I always say buying real estate is not an event; it's a process. And when you are making an offer, the kind of questions that you need to be educated about are what's involved in making an offer. What has to happen to make? What does that mean actually to make an offer? And then if you learn what that is, then you decide, you determine what you should offer for it. You know, and that really requires some professional help, we believe, by a realtor. And then you have to write an offer with a deposit, because there has to be value to an offer, and people don't. Well, what does that mean? So there's a lot of different steps, even in just the front end here. You're not even in contract yet, to just making an offer and figuring out and learning, not figuring out. Don't sit and figure it out. Call a good broker and ask them these questions and get educated in the market. So we would, we'll continue some more on this, because there really are some good things. You know, we can even answer some of these questions that we are asked all the time. When we return, we're going to go to break right now. And
you're
we'll
listening
see you
to
back.
Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
Like us on Facebook. Our address, ctkradio.org.
And we'll be right back.
Christ the King Radio is the internet broadcast outreach ministry of Christ the King Radio Ministries. The goal of Christ the King Radio is to follow the command found in Mark 16:15, to go into all the world, preaching the good news to everyone everywhere via the internet. In order to continue bringing the light unto a dark world, Christ the King Radio needs not only your prayers, but your financial support. Your tax-deductible gift, no matter how small, will go a long way in providing us the means to continue reaching out to children of the kingdom around the world. To help, please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on our website, www.ctkradio.org. Again, that's www.ctkradio.org. On behalf of the staff, management, and all of our volunteers, thanks again for listening to and supporting Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
The Seniors Solutions of Colorado website is an incredible resource featuring services and service providers committed to helping seniors and the handicapped remain independent and age gracefully in their homes. To find out more about Seniors Solutions of Colorado, visit the website www.seniorssolutionsofcolorado.com. Again, that's www.seniorssolutionsofcolorado.com. Or use the link conveniently located on the spotlight page at our website, www.ctkradio.org.
You're listening to Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
The views and opinions of the host or guest of the following program may not be those of the staff or management of Christ the King Radio or Christ the King Radio Ministries.
good afternoon. We're back. This is Rochelle Farraco and Joan Tuohy, and we are talking about real estate today with Metro Brokers. We're at here at Christ the King Radio, ctkradio.org, and we're just talking about a lot of
everything. A coffee clutch.
Yeah, right.
Kind of like the parties we went to over Memorial Day weekend where we would sit down with our glass of wine and everyone would come around and ask real estate questions. So it was, you know, it was really interesting to see how confused
everyone
really is about the market. And it is a confusing market. So, you know, one of the things we talked about is a big question that we get is what is involved in making an offer. So when you find the house that most fits your needs, because there is no such thing as a perfect house, you'll probably find yourself getting emotionally involved. And you want to try to hold off from that. A good broker will try to bring you back down to earth at this very front end process to help you with making that offer that's going to be a good offer, but not pie in the sky. So you may imagine that you're moving your furniture in. This makes you get all emotional. You're planting flowers and you're having your first big party and everything else. You cannot get too attached prematurely. There's a number of steps that you have to do before you're holding the keys to that house. And you need to be able to think clearly and objectively about getting there through those steps. And that requires, in our opinion, this market in particular, requires a good professional in the industry to help you get through those steps. Because when you listen to this weekend, heard about all kinds of people, their brother, their sister, their aunt, their uncle were making all kinds of offers, and there were 10, 20 offers against them with 25 and 30,000 over the, what's going on? What's going to stop that? So what really it is for each person individually is to slow down, understand listen to your professional in the industry about what's going on, and then take each step carefully and try not to become overly attached. Having said that, it would also be a good idea that you make sure that when you find your property, you've already been to a lender and you already should be in this market pre-approved for a loan.
Yeah.
That all of your ducks are in a row. All of the money that you need to buy the property is available for the lender to check, et cetera. So
higher earnest money.
Right.
Put in more earnest money. You're going to have to probably pay over the asking price, and you're going to have to figure out how high you're willing to go over that, because a lot of people, everybody's going over the asking price.
Exactly. And so, and sometimes, it's rare, but sometimes the appraisal doesn't come back, but it can be challenged. And sometimes when you challenge the appraisal, Rochelle and I have had this happen to us recently. It was a buyer's appraisal. They really wanted the property. So we agreed to challenge it with the listing broker. But sometimes the appraiser and the management company for the appraiser says, no.
They don't believe
the value is there. The issue that I have with that, and that a lot of people point out, is that if you ask 10 different attorneys exactly the same question, you will likely get 10 different answers. This is true of appraisers. It's true of all professionals in an industry, because everyone has their experience behind them, what they've learned, and that's how they're operating and perceiving things. So that's another thing to know.
And another thing is, as people are making offers, waive in the inspection.
Exactly.
Just to put them in the forefront of, the other agent looking at their offer.
And we should mention that practicing brokers and realtors are not advised to have you waive your inspections. It's not, it's what people are doing. It's going to end up as a problem at some point in time.
You can do one still.
You can.
But that means you can't ask them first.
That's right. So that is one thing, is that you can waive the resolutions. So you do your inspection, you can decide whether or not you can handle the repairs that you see, and there isn't anything to send off to the seller to say, we want you to fix this, that, and the other thing, because you've waived that part of it. But yes, Rochelle is absolutely right.
And now we're seeing where they're waiving the appraisal. Now that becomes another issue, because maybe in the contingency part, you're putting that if it does appraise, say you're buying the home for $300,000, and it doesn't appraise at $300,000, it appraises at $280,000, you're willing to come in with the cash difference
$20,000. So,
you know, this isn't uncommon.
Not in the current market. This is absolutely not uncommon.
Joan, how do you feel? What do you feel the market is going to do for the next couple of years?
Well, I think that it's going to continue like this, because I don't think that we can all of a sudden expect to see an abandonment of residents of Colorado abandoning elsewhere. You know, they're here. They live here. They work here. Also, I think it's going to remain like this because jobs, there's a lot of jobs in Colorado. And I'm not quite, I don't know. I'm sure we still get a lot of influx from California and Texas, but I also see a lot of influx coming from the East Coast because we have jobs. And, you know, it's kind of a paradise of weather for East Coasters when they get here, because it's so different than their weather, and it's very desirable.
Although I'm a little tired of the rain.
Yes, yes. I'm a little tired of how you're all driving out there on the interstate. But the other thing is that I always think it's interesting to, I'll tell a story. Okay, so I at one point had some young buyers. They were very excited. Rochelle and I did. And they were very excited. We showed them a lot of property. They saw what they could get for their money, which was about $225,000. And we showed them what they could get for that. And they looked and looked and looked. And they finally delightedly found one that they could see them doing it. And they got accepted. They wrote an offer on it and they got accepted. Then mom and dad, who had never been out shopping with them and looking, want to see the house. So of course they do, you know. So the kids call and say, hey, you know, my parents want to come and see the house and see what we bought. Now, remember, the kids are very excited and happy, and we're very excited and happy for them because we know what's out there.
And we know what the market's doing.
Exactly. So the parents come in and wonder, and this happens a lot, but the only time I ever really said something was the mother and dad came in and they just walked around the house, shaking their head, couldn't believe it. You're paying how much for this house, et cetera, et cetera. And I believe these parents, if I recall, lived in a very upscale neighborhood on the west side of town. And they had been there forever. And so I turned to the parents and I said, well, how much did you pay for your property? Well, we have a beautiful home and we only paid $35,000 for it. And I said, $35,000? How long ago? Well, we've been there for 30 years. And I said, that is just fantastic. Can I write you a check right now for $40,000 and buy your property? I'll write you a check right now for $40,000. Well, no, we wouldn't sell it for that. I said, exactly. And that is where your kids are. You know, they can't buy your house or in your neighborhood even, than in any affordable level. They're starting where they are, you know. And so I just think that is historical real estate. I bought my first house in New Jersey for $18,000. You know, it's probably worth $500,000 today.
Well, and real estate always goes up.
That's
sure,
it
comes down, mm-hmm. but it always still goes up.
Because if it didn't, we would still be able to buy property
under $100,000
for $15,000 and $25,000 and $35,000. That just doesn't happen. It, even when it falls, it doesn't fall back to the levels of over time, you know, and then, it climbs it way back up again. But it's always an increasing investment, in our opinion. You know, that's our opinion of it. So that's another thing. And I think that's a cute little story about, you know, I'd love to buy your house. Will you sell it to me now?
Maybe we could talk about agency a little bit, how that is when you
In the state of Colorado, we are to advise anyone we meet right up front who is potentially going to become a client, we are supposed to advise them immediately and have a document that tells them the type, the way we work, the different relationships that a person in Colorado can have in a real estate transaction with their broker. So starting out at the bare minimum is you can have no relationship. And it clearly defines in the paperwork that you're a customer and that all of your, the broker that you're working with is representing the buyer or the seller, and you are a for sale by owner that doesn't want any representation. Well, then you are simply a customer. Same with a buyer who comes into one of a broker's listing and says, oh, I just want you to do it. Well, that broker has to declare of what type of relationship we're going to have because that broker is already a seller's agent. So the next level is you can be, I was a seller's agent, but now I'll be a transaction broker because you're in here to buy this house and you want to use me. And a transaction broker is a facilitator of paperwork. There's no agency involved and there is no vicarious liability. The fiduciary responsibility is not there for the seller anymore. Now, this does not mean that a broker is not doing fair business, fair business practices, you know, with the client, but that's another type of relationship. And when it looks like we've got to go for a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the last two types of agency that you can have. And we'll see you in a few minutes.
This program is available as a podcast. Simply visit the podcast section at our website, www.ctkradio.org.
You can take Christy King Radio with you on your mobile device everywhere you go. Simply visit the App Store for iPhone or the Play Store for Android and download the free TuneIn.com app. After installing the app, search the TuneIn.com website using all capital letters for CTK Radio. Save CTK Radio to your favorites and enjoy. On behalf of the management and staff, thanks again for listening to and supporting Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
Like us on Facebook. Our address, ctkradio.org.
Elevation Health Chiropractic, Denver, Colorado. Elevation Health features the core four system of wellness: function, fitness, nutrition, and education. For more information, visit the website at www.yourhealthelevated.com. Again, that's www.yourhealthelevated.com.
Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
This is Rochelle and Joan back with Senior Solutions of Colorado, and today we're talking about our real estate industry, our business. That's where we make our money, is in real estate. And you're listening to Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. We do this every Tuesday from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, so tune in. Angela takes care of us over there on the board.
Many times we have guests. But we thought that given all of the questioning that's going on about real estate in the market and in the Denver Post and everything else, that we would talk a little bit about that today. So when we just left off, we were talking about there are different types of relationships that you can have with a broker in the state of Colorado. And not all of them are what's called an agency relationship, which is contractual. So if you are, we've talked about being just a consumer, which would be low man on the totem pole. We've talked about that broker could be a transaction broker and show you properties and list your house, et cetera. But they're just a transaction broker, which is kind of, Rochelle always says, it's like a coach.
A referee.
Yeah. The transactional person
is a referee. You're not being coached.
Yeah.
You're not given
advice and counsel. Exactly. So that's what a transaction broker is. Now, the way most agencies are in terms of sellers in this state is if you're the listing broker, you have a seller's agency, most likely. And the seller's agency is full fiduciary responsibility goes to the seller. And you are, so you as the seller have a broker who's working specifically for you, and it's in the agency agreement of all the duties of that broker to you. Now, let's say that someone comes to your house, to your broker, and says, I love your seller's listing and we want to buy it. And some brokers will, what I call, jump on the fence and become a transaction broker so that they can work as a referee between the two parties. So there is no advice and counseling going on to either party. You're kind of trying to be neutral and facilitate the transaction. That's the big word in transaction brokerage, is facilitate. So that's a choice that, you know, brokers and you as a consumer can make. The other type of agency agreement is when you're a buyer. And when you're a buyer, you can have a transaction broker. You can say, no, I don't want to sign a contract for you to be my buyer's agent, which it doesn't cost you anything in the state of Colorado. So it really evens the playing field for you. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. What most buyers are concerned with is that they're going to get tied into the contract. Well, you are tied into the contract to work with that broker to find you a property. I would suggest that that many brokers, not all, would release you if you were unhappy with their performance and you hadn't yet found a property to purchase. Once you're in a contract to purchase a property, the buyer's agent can't quit on you and you can't fire the buyer's agent, so to speak. But all of a buyer's agent's fiduciary obligation is to the buyer.
And that's why Jonah and I always say, let's meet with you, have coffee. Let's see if we're a fit.
Right.
Because you may not care for us or
vice versa.
Or, you know, it just may not be a fit. Yeah.
Right.
So you want to make sure it is a fit.
Right. So that is the various type of agencies in a very small nutshell. There's more to all of this, but we're not trying to teach it. But when you get a little bit of education about all of the moving parts in a real estate transaction, it will really help you to move more smoothly through your transaction, because it is not going to be an event. And there's going to be things that you can't even know. After all the years in real estate, Rochelle and I still come up against things that who would have guessed?
Mm-hmm. Every deal is different.
Every transaction is different. So that is, where a good professional figures it out, educates you, and gets you to where you want to be, the closing table.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one thing is, Jonah and I are senior real estate specialists as well. We have a certification that helps seniors with their real estate and their families. We're out there to help their families in, you know, downsizing, aging in place, and other lifestyle options they may make. Mm-hmm. And we have the resources besides the real estate portion to help them with.
Right. And our resources would help not just seniors who are making changes, but we could really just, they're there to help anybody who may need it. We probably have mentioned before on the program, and we'll mention it again, that as seniors real estate specialists, we, and with Senior Solutions of Colorado, we actually, contrary to what we do for a living, recommend that if seniors can age in place, they should do so. So we would just put that right out there. You know, we don't run to a senior who calls us about a real estate thing and run over there and say, oh, yeah, sell your house. No, we don't do that. We really, we educate the senior again on all the resources that are available to them to remain at home and age in place, which is great because, you know, this is, it's, these markets are difficult. These transactions, when a senior who's, most seniors have been in their home for a long time, and then you, then they have to come out and deal in this current market in terms of how contracts work and how the market works
and the craziness right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, and you know, it's a burden for those of us in the industry for a long time. And Rochelle has frequently said, "Can you imagine these people who aren't in the industry trying to figure some of this stuff out?" And that is so very true. Mm-hmm. So we,
because we know it, and then things blow our minds.
Yeah.
So we can't imagine what the public,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
how, what they don't
so
know.
So again, the key word here is, I think the key advice we can give you is to hire, talk to three good brokers that, you know, your friends know about, your family knows about, or whatever. They're, you know them from the neighborhood or whatever. Talk to three good brokers and make sure that they are going to be willing to educate you through the steps of your transaction. And
what value they bring to you. What,
right.
You know, the main thing is how to prevent you from making mistakes.
Exactly.
So mm-hmm. I think that is tells the mm-hmm. difference between mm-hmm. realtors. Mm-hmm.
And you know, you need a good negotiator.
Yeah, Joan's
so,
great at that.
So
actually,
if you're talking to the person and they're just agreeing with everything you say, and oh yes, not a problem, all this stuff, you have to ask yourself, is this a good negotiator? You know, you really do want to have a good negotiator, somebody who is going to challenge something.
You know, and tell you the truth.
And tell the truth, right. This is how it is. You may not want to hear this, but this is how it works.
Joan's saying always is, there's no smoke and mirrors here or something
right.
like that.
No smoke and mirrors. And another thing is, I love to say, is you don't know what you don't know until you know it. And trust me, there's a lot to know here. And so, you know, that is part of it. For sellers, another thing that comes up quite a bit is once you're in your transaction, make sure you understand the contract and the type of lending or loan that your buyer is getting, because there is verbiage in the contracts and the purchase contracts that FHA and VA lenders, buyers do not have to perform in the same way that if you're on a conventional loan, has to perform. You can't hold an FHA borrower to an appraisal deadline date. That's kind of an important thing to know. And the same is true of a VA buyer. They can't be hold to that. So I think also in the new contracts that you cannot hold them to a loan deadline date, which of course makes sense. If you can't hold them to an appraisal deadline, you can't get a loan approval without an appraisal. Therefore, the loan approval date doesn't really mean anything until, you know, the appraisal happens. So there's all little things like that, big things actually, but throughout the purchase contract that you want to be educated on and have a broker that's willing to go through it with you.
And try to improve your loan to debt ratio right now, because FHA loans are not being accepted for the most part.
Oh, absolutely. You right. Know? In this market, great point, Rochelle.
You know?
The sellers don't want FHA buyers because it is so difficult with the appraisers are more demanding on items that need to be corrected in a home.
And they're getting so many conventional loan offers. Mm-hmm. So why would they take an FHA?
Mm-hmm. It's just harder to go through. So those are, not that they wouldn't, you know,
right.
But
your chances are better.
It is a fact that sellers more and more are turning away FHA loans for conventional loans that have more money down and are, even though they're harder to get for the consumer, the fact that they can get one means they must have good credit because they're getting a conventional loan. So that sort of thing is very important to know, too.
So if you have any questions, give Joan Tooley a call at 303-810-5746 or myself, Rochelle Farocco, at 720-271-8752. We always know what each other's doing because we're with each other 24/7. And
if you want to contact us with particular questions about if you're in the market or trying to figure out the market and we have more time, you can email either Rochelle and I at, I think the easy one is jandr@sres.com. That's jandr@sres.com. And that way we will both get it. And we'd be happy to answer, you know, any questions that you have. So we want like to thank you for joining us today. And we look forward to talking to you again next week. We'll likely have a guest with us next week. But we thought that given the crazy market and all the crazy questions over the weekend, we'd talk a little bit about real estate and trying not to go outside the scope of our license liability.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Have a wonderful week, everyone.
You're listening to Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. And we'll see you next week.
This program is available as a podcast. Simply visit the podcast section at our website, www.ctkradio.org.
Visit our Facebook page. Our address on Facebook, ctkradio.org.
Christ the King Radio is the internet broadcast outreach ministry of Christ the King Radio Ministries. The goal of Christ the King Radio is to follow the command found in Mark 16:15, to go into all the world, preaching the good news to everyone everywhere via the internet. In order to continue bringing the light unto a dark world, Christ the King Radio needs not only your prayers but your financial support. Your tax-deductible gift, no matter how small, will go a long way in providing us the means to continue reaching out to children of the kingdom around the world. To help, please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on our website, www.ctkradio.org. Again, that's www.ctkradio.org. On behalf of the staff, management, and all of our volunteers, thanks again for listening to and supporting Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
The Seniors Solutions of Colorado website is an incredible resource featuring services and service providers committed to helping seniors and the handicapped remain independent and age gracefully in their homes. To find out more about Seniors Solutions of Colorado, visit the website www.seniorssolutionsofcolorado.com. Again, that's www.seniorssolutionsofcolorado.com. Or use the link conveniently located on the spotlight page at our website, www.ctkradio.org.